Hi, this is Dan Rusinowski, the voice of the San Jose Sharks. You're listening to Bay Area Sports Wrap with Lowell, Marco, and Ryan.
Mitch Wishnowski, the holder. Robbie Gould, the kicker. Good snap. Good hold. No good on the kick.
Oh, wow.
Missed it wide right.
Oh,
and overtime. Second and 10.
Adam Stidham, wobbler for
Adams, and it's intercepted. Picked off by Tashawn Gibson.
Oh, he's gone.
Gibson down the sidelines. Gibson inside the 15. A flag is down as he steps out of bounds inside the 10.
Good snap. Good hold.
Redemption for Robbie. And the San Francisco 49ers win their ninth in a row. 37-34 in overtime over the Las Vegas Raiders.
Welcome to Bay Area Sports Wrap. Alongside Marco Kalovich, I'm Ryan Leong. Together, we will recap Week 17 in the National Football League. And Marco was one of the lucky souls that was able to go down to Sin City in the heart of Las Vegas to watch that Raiders-Niners debacle that turned out to be really probably one of the best games of that week. And Marco, instead of stealing your thunder, you tell me the entire experience of going down to see Allegiant Stadium for your second time and being a part of that that great scene there at Allegiant Stadium.
Yeah, not only was it one of the best games of the week, I think it was one of the best games of the year in the NFL entirely. It was a battle of David versus Goliath. With when you think about how the Niners rolled into town, 8-game winning streak, firing all cylinders, even with their third string quarterback there, they just look like a well-oiled machine. And then you have the Raiders dealing with a bunch of drama. When are they not dealing with drama, right? But this time, this past week, it was all about Derek Carr being benched and have him leaving the team for the final 2 weeks of the season, getting Jared Stidham in there as first ever career start in the NFL. It was like, on paper, this was supposed to be a 49ers blowout. And what we got instead was just a classic game for the ages, Niners, Raiders. And the funny thing is, you know, usually when these teams have played together, the games have not been great. They haven't. But this one was a classic. And, you know, being in that stadium, getting field access for the first time down there, it was a treat. You know, ran into Steve Levy of ESPN and a few other media members from the local Bay Area chapter up there. So it was fun, and just being part of that. And then, again, watching the game, you see the Raiders take it down, drive it down the throats of the 49ers defense on an opening drive to go up 7-0. And everyone was kind of like looking at each other like, wow, is this for real? Like, what are we witnessing here? And then the Niners come back, and it just went back and forth. It was such a great game. And then for it to go to overtime, it just had to, right? And then, of course, you know, it wasn't a great ending to overtime with the way the interception happened, with Bosa pushing in Colton Miller into Stidham there at the end. But, hey, that's the way football is sometimes. And it's funny because I think up until that point, they really had contained Nick Bosa, the Raiders offensive line did, throughout that entire game. And this was the first time, I think, since week 14 that the 49ers did not record a sack. So that just goes to show you, you know, how well the Raiders actually played. It pretty much was their best game of the season. And it was a treat to be there.
No, definitely, Marco. I was watching that game at home and watching the game on Fox with Kevin Kugler and Mark Sanchez. Kind of weird seeing Mark Sanchez as an analyst. I still picture that guy, you know, suiting up and playing a quarterback. Just goes to show you how old we're both getting, I guess. Or maybe, at least I'm getting older. So, but it was a good game to watch. And I think, you know, I kind of predicted to you when we did our last episode of Bay Area Sports Wrap, our podcast, that I anticipated the Raiders were going to come out and play well, and they did. And you know, Stidham's great. I mean, he really showed me something, because he was able to play with a sense of confidence and presence that you just didn't see out of Derek Carr. In fact, it's really interesting, but I think Derek Carr and Jimmy Garoppolo play quarterback in very similar ways. They both have good, strong throwing arms, but they don't necessarily have the best instincts when it comes to playing a quarterback. I think Carr for sure is, you know, takes the cake when it comes to throwing picks, because some of his interceptions have been legendarily bad. Just the way, like, you know, that interception against Pittsburgh, for instance, at the end of that game was just awful. Just really, really bad instincts. And I think Stidham, he played great, except for, unfortunately, you know, maybe the Raiders, of course, as you know, Marco, you're a bigger Raider fan than I am. The Raiders always have to go for the big play, and they went for that home run play, I think, where I think was it Bosa kind of got – he either got a hand on the ball or he was able to disrupt Stidham's pass enough to where he got intercepted by Gibson.
Yeah, so I believe Colton Miller was blocking Bosa on that play, and Bosa just used this power just to push Miller back into – Stidham right when he was throwing the ball. So that affected the ball being the projection of the ball being thrown. And instead of getting a nice long throw down the sideline, you got one that popped up in the air like a duck. And I believe it was, Tashaun Gibson who
was
on with that and ran it back to the 3 yard line. And, you know, as I mentioned earlier, Nick Bosa really didn't, you know, do anything in that game as far as sacks or really putting that much pressure on Jared Stidham. But the one time when they needed them to do it the most and it counted is that was that final offensive play for the Raiders where, again, you know, he just bulls in with the charge, gets the pressure in enough to where it affected the throw to where Gibson was able just to play center field and catch that can of corn, if you will, to use a baseball term and run it down the sideline to almost for a pick six. But again, take away that play, though, and it was really just a good game offensively by both teams.
Second and 10. Adam Stidham, wobbler for Adams, and it's intercepted. Picked off by Tashaun Gibson.
Oh, he's gone.
Gibson down the sidelines. Gibson inside the 15. A flag is down as he steps out of bounds inside the 10.
Who would have thought? If you would have told me what the odds are that the Raiders were going to split up 500 yards against the 49ers, those had to be astronomical odds. And I would have said you've been smoking either crack or LSD or something to be insane to have thought that. You know, Niners, on the other hand, I believe they put up 485 yards of offense.
They put up 454, so they were close. And the Raiders actually had four more offensive plays than the 49ers. So it was a very balanced game as far as the offense goes.
Yeah, definitely. And again, you know, you look at those final 5 minutes where, you know, the Niners get to go up and then the Raiders come back and to tie it up with 1:11 left in the fourth quarter. And then 49ers had their chance to win it. And at the end of the regulation, when that ball that popped up from Purdy ended up in the hands of Ayuk, which was, to this day right now, I'm thinking, I don't know how that ball got completed because that should have been picked off as well. But, hey, you know, Ayuk's a playmaker. He came down when he needed to. But then who would have thought Robbie Gould would miss a chip shot?
Right. Well, it wasn't quite a chip shot. But, yeah, for him, though, you're right. 41 yards is really not out of the question for him. Anything within 50, in my opinion, is pretty much a gimme for Robbie Gould. And I was surprised, too, to see that catch that Davante Adams got credit for. I actually thought the ball hit the ground.
Yeah, it was tough to see it. You know, where my advantage, it was on kind of the opposite side of the field. And, you know, you couldn't tell if he came down with it while watching it live. And now when we saw the replays, you know, one angle looked like he caught it, and then there's another angle looked like he trapped it. So, you know, and again, with the way the calls have been historically against the Raiders over the years, it's been nice to see him get some calls their way recently. I think at that point, you know, the guy goes and makes such a spectacular and probable catch, a catch that only he can make. Not even Jerry Rice would have been able to make that catch. And I think there were just wasn't enough, I think, clear evidence that showed him that he trapped it. And you got to reward a guy for that. And that was the key to that play, because I think that was first and 20 when that happened. So, you know, the Raiders have just taken a holding penalty, and then that play gets completed, sets up the game time touchdown with a Josh Jacobs 1 yard touchdown run. And yeah, I mean, the crowd was it was funny because it was loud the entire game, you know, and it was, I would say it was 80-20% the ratio of 49ers fans to Raiders fans. It was surreal to see how much of a takeover that they did. Not surprised, not saying it was breaking news, but still, when you witness it like that, it was pretty surreal. And it was great that the fans were really into it. I didn't really see any fights break out. I think all the fans were on their best behavior that day, and they turned out and saw a great game.
Yeah, the only thing that's unfortunate for me, and again, being a Raider fan like you, to see such a home field disadvantage, as I like to call it, for the Raiders. I mean, Niner fans, let's be honest. I mean, they're not like the Raider fans. They yeah, they're called the faithful, but let's come on. They're the biggest bandwagon group in the entire NFL. I don't know of an NFL team that has a bigger bandwagon than the 49ers. And when they get and when that bandwagon gets going, nothing stops that bandwagon. So yeah, and you know, short of some kind of a collapse by the Niners, you're going to see that bandwagon keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger until, of course, you know, the Niners are no longer playing. But as it stands right now, they still have a chance for the top seed if the Philadelphia Eagles lose against the New York Giants and the Niners can beat the Cardinals. Your thoughts on that?
Well, and it's very possible that they will end up as the number one seed after Sunday's games for the fact that you have, you know, Jalen Hurts, who's still hurt, you know, with the quarterback.
So Jalen Hurts, literally.
Yes, he's literally living up to his name. And, you know, if he doesn't come back, and wouldn't it make any sense for them to bring him back? You need to save him for the playoffs if he's not 100%. Then, you know, the Giants, you know, they're I know they clinched a spot in the for the wild card, but you know, they still have a lot to play for as well. And, you know, they just want to beat the divisional opponent. I mean, that's enough motivation right there. And then you look at the Niners side, you know, they're going to play an Arizona team that doesn't have Kyler Murray. You know, their defense has been suspect of not playing out bad the whole entire year. So, you know, this game's going to be at Levi's. It's the final regular season game of the season. And I think that the Niners are going to come out on top and end the regular season on a 10-game winning streak. And not too many teams have done that. And with the way this team started out and 3-4, and it just didn't look like, you know, it was going to, you know, be one of those successful years for them, especially with Seattle getting off to the start that they did. The fact that what this team has done is pretty exceptional. And to go into the playoffs on a 10-game winning streak and then possibly being with the number one seed and having that bye, I mean, it's just like, can things get any better for them?
Right. And as you know, and maybe some of the listeners don't know, only the number one seed gets the first round bye. Everybody else has to play a game. So, yeah, if they can get a week off, who wouldn't love that, especially in January after you played 17 weeks of football? I mean, you add an extra game, add an extra week, and then, of course, only one team can get some time off. And the Niners definitely could use some time off for sure. Who the heck's the Arizona quarterback? David Blow? Is that how you say his name? Blog?
Something like that, yeah.
And then the Cardinals are 4-12. Another lackluster year from the Arizona Cardinals. I mean, this team is one of the most pathetic franchises in all the NFL, and they like to be the Niners' whipping boys. So, hey, why not whip on them some more, right?
That's what I'm thinking was going to happen this Sunday there at Levi's. And, yeah, you just look at that Arizona's came out and just have had a bad year. Even when Kyler Murray was you know, playing for them and he was not injured, that team was in disarray. Plus, you know, they didn't have DeAndre Hopkins for the first six games because of his suspension. Not really affected the offense, but defensively they've been really bad. And you know, that's why the reason that they have a 4-12 record is because they don't have a good defense. Offensively, yeah, they're going to be able to score some points, but when you know you're giving your defense is giving up 30 and you're only scoring like 23 or 24. Now you know why they have a 4-12 record.
Yeah, you know, it was the last time the Cardinals won a game.
When was that?
November 13th, which is actually that's a great day of you know, you and me being TV fans. You know, that's Gary Marshall's birthday, and that's also the day that Felix had to move out because his wife kicked him out, so he moves in with Oscar.
No way, not a couple. That's one of those references in there.
Uh-huh. Hey, of course, I'm gonna throw out any TV reference I can. That just shows our age. But I did learn that's Gary Marshall's birthday, so he was born November 13th. That's the Cardinals' last win. So Lowell Tuckerman would not know that.
No.
But this has been great talking about this stuff. I think the Niners definitely have a golden opportunity in front of them to, like you said, end the game on a 10-game winning streak, hand the Cardinals their, was it, 7th straight loss to end the season. I mean, yeah, the Niners got to take advantage of these guys. They got to whip these guys in submission. And like you said, the Giants being the team that they are, they're one of the tradition-rich NFL teams, you know, playing against a division opponent in Philadelphia. And without Jalen Hurts playing to lead that offense, Yeah, any team is always trying to get better in the standings, right? Unless you're completely eliminated. And even then, I mean, unless you're just trying to tank for a top draft pick, you always want to try to win a game just because there's so few games in the NFL.
Of course. And I think that the 49ers learned their lesson this past Sunday to not take any teams lightly, not to take them for granted, because when they do, you know, they're going to be in a dogfight that they didn't envision, and then it's going to force them to have to play harder than they probably wanted to. So you can't take a team in the NFL lightly, really, despite their record. And I think the 49ers learned a hard lesson this past Sunday. So I think they're going to take that in to this game against Arizona and to just take care of business.
Right now we got the 2 seed, and we want to make sure we at least stay the 2 seed. In order to do that, we need to win. Maybe if Minnesota lost before us, that wouldn't be the case, but I'm counting on us having a win to get that. And we're not going to know until the game's over whether we have a chance at the 1 seed. So the way it plays out, to me, there's only one thing that guys should be worried about and our team should be talking about, and that's beating Arizona.
All right, before we close out things here on Bay Area Sports Wrap, we would be remiss to not talk about the Raiders. One game left. They got to face the Chiefs. Always a big rivalry. You will be there again, correct? You got to approve to – you got the green light to cover that game also.
Yes, I just got approved recently for that game. It's going to be on Saturday, January 7th at 1:30 p.m. from Allegiant Stadium. And, you know, again, the promise that I saw with Jared Stidham against the 49ers, the number one defense in the league, gives me some hope that they're going to be able to play a decent game against Kansas City. You know, Kansas City's never had a really good defense. They've always had to outscore their opponent, which they've been able to do that a lot when you have a guy like Patrick Mahomes at quarterback. But that being said, you know, I expect them to be competitive in this game. I don't think I would have said that 3 weeks ago, that these last two games that the Raiders were just going to get killed. But, you know, their impressive performance this past Sunday, despite the loss, I think gives them some momentum heading into this Kansas City game, who they might be just looking to go on cruise control of that game. And so this opens up the door for the Raiders to try to end this really just horrible season with the on a winning note. And that's really all you can ask from them right now.
Yeah, I'm looking at the schedule. So the Chiefs are coming in having won 9 of their last 10 games. But you're right, though. I don't know how badly they smell blood in the water for something like this, just because I think they're pretty secure, right, already in their playoff positioning. Where do they stand right now?
I believe they're actually number one right now because of the postponement to last night's Monday night game, which, you know, scary situation.
You're right. They are number one. At least they're number one in the AFC West. They've got they're 13-3. Yeah, they got the best record.
So, you know, I don't think that game's going to be made up, which it shouldn't be. You know, in the Cincinnati game last night, again, with the scary situation that happened on the field. I think that's what I'm saying. I think Kansas City's kind of got to be in cruise control mode this Sunday with really nothing really left for them to play. I think that number one seed is theirs now, and they clinched it. So I would say, if anything, they might play all the starters in the first half and might just rest them in the second. We don't know what Andy Reid has planned, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's something he does this Saturday. And like I said, this opens the door for the Raiders to take advantage of that if that were to happen, and again come out of there with the win and give their fans just something to cheer about after blowing 5 double-digit leads this season and losing them. And just, you know, it's been rough, man.
No, you're right. You know what? Before we end the podcast, we should talk about that Bills Bengals game. I mean, that was a tough situation to watch. You know, DeMar Hamlin, you know, he takes that hit and he crumples like a leaf. I mean, after he makes a tackle, he gets up briefly and then crumples like a leaf. So, what was your thoughts on watching? I mean, I didn't see the play happen initially. I was at the Warriors game before it started, but I did get a chance, of course, to watch numerous replays of it and a lot of analysis from medical experts who say that the hit basically caused his cardiac arrest because I think the hit may have happened in between heartbeats.
So from what I've been hearing and reading from the medical experts who know about this condition, so the way the heartbeat is, you know, it starts out slow, then it has that surge to the top, and then it comes back down. So it's enough that last sort of little step of the heartbeat. When you get hit at that point in the chest during that last part of the heartbeat, that's what causes the cardiac arrest. I forget the medical term that they mentioned, but that's what happened to DeMar Hamlin last night. It was just one of those freak plays where the timing was like so astronomical, the odds of that happening, that that's what happened to him. And that's really the true medical explanation of why he went into cardiac arrest. And so, you know, our thoughts and prayers go out to Hamlin and his family, because, again, to see something like that happen is such, again, such a scary and frightening situation that I don't know how I could have responded if that was like my kid or family member that happened to. So, again, we hope he's going to be okay. And, you know, again, something like that never happens again.
Yeah, and you played football in high school, right? What defensive line, or what was your position?
I was both defensive and offensive lineman. So I was hitting someone on every play, but luckily, you know, even when I went for tackles, I tried to lean in with my shoulder, but not, you know, trying to go up to the helmet or anything like that. I usually try to go shoulder to shoulder when I tackled somebody, and then I did the wrap. So. This was a freak play in that there was no ill intent on this. I believe that was Jamar Chase that was going in just on a hard play, and Hamlin's there, and just the timing of where the hit landed at that exact moment is just one of those freak occurrences that you never think would ever happen. And it's just, again, it's such a sad situation when you see something like that happen. And, you know, I'm glad the players and the coaches were like, we cannot continue this game. I think it would have been a travesty had they tried to, as no one was able to do that. You saw how emotionally wrecked they were. And for right, so that's their brother, you know, and even the Cincinnati guys, you know, the whole NFL has been a big fraternity, right? They're all their brothers there. And so when one guy goes down, everyone feels is affected by it. So, again, you know, we hope Hamlin turns out okay. I think he's still in the ICU unit as of this moment. But they said, you know, his oxygen went from having to have it 100% in to 50%. So, knowing what, you know, that can happen, I've experienced from a personal standpoint, from family standpoint, where, you know, I've had someone in the ICU, and yeah, you know, when they put a breathing tube in you, that's really just to help the person breathe. It's not so much that they can't do it yet on their own, but it's just something where, you know, it keeps everything going into the vitals. So, I think each day, I think we're going to hear something that he's doing a little bit better and better. And, you know, hopefully, you know, he makes it out of this okay.
All right. Well, that's Marko Kalovic, who was on assignment this week in Las Vegas for some other reasons besides the Raiders game. But we'll leave that to your imagination. Anyway, Marko, we'll look forward to having you back in the Bay Area when you're back from this work assignment of yours. And look forward to seeing you at a future game. I won't see you, of course, unfortunately, for the Niners-Cardinals game, because you'll be at the Raiders-Chiefs game. But I'm sure you'll have a great time. I'll look forward to seeing you when you come back.
Of course. I'll be looking forward to going back up to the Bay Area after leaving Sin City.
Yes, indeed. All right, that is Bay Area Sports Wrap, our Week 17 recap. That is Marko Kalovic. I am Ryan Leong, and we'll see you next time.